Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show and today we have a special Father's Day tribute with father and daughter comedians Phil Cook and Louise Ward and baby Grace if she wakes up. Welcome guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
How are you doing? Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, thank you both for being here. So Father's Day in Australia is on Sunday the 6th of September and it's where we honour fatherhood and it's very special. It's very special. Our dads are very special, aren't they, guys?
Sure.
So, debatable. No, fathers play a really important role in our lives from childhood right up to adulthood. And father-daughter and son relationships are so precious. They set the scene for how we should behave towards each other and how we should be treated by others. Dads help us very early on with building our self-esteem and self-worth. So thanks for doing that, Phil. I'm sure Louise has – she looks great, so
– I'm going to start crying soon.
I know, I was like, I'm very hormonal.
So I'll start off, Phil, what was the best thing about you being a dad and now a grandfather?
Geez, I don't know. I think it just puts your whole life into some sort of perspective. It kind of just, you know, prioritises everything.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of worry about little things at work and stuff like that and you realise that's not important. So I think having kids just realise what's important in life. And how you're going to be stuck with them forever. Yeah. But no, I think that's it. Just
then stuck with
things.
Their kids.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It is a forever all once you
it
go
is.
There,
isn't it? It's not like a puppy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, then, you know, they, but you can always return a puppy, I guess.
And Louise, what is the best thing about your dad?
Mm. Oh, geez. I don't think dad's a conventional dad. You know, my friends are friends with dad. Which I think is really unusual and really lovely.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and growing up, you know, dad's always been the fun dad.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can always have a joke with him, but you can also have a serious chat. And yeah. I've been loving seeing dad be a pop to my daughter now.
Aww.
Like, although I've seen him with my sister's kids, it's very different when you see them with your own and you get to see how his dad role is different to his pop role.
Yeah.
Which is really, really lovely.
Yeah, that is very special. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're very lucky.
Oh, I know that. I know that. You do realise how lucky you are as you get older, I think, and you see other people aren't as lucky. You do, you know, it's a cliche, but you do count your blessings.
Yeah, and how many children do you have, Phil?
Four, yeah. Oh,
and
went downhill after two, though, didn't it?
Well, we thought after two we got to do better, right? So, yeah, three girls and a boy. The boy's the youngest. Everyone always asks the cliche question. Mm. Were you trying for a boy? We definitely weren't.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Mm. You know, we would have been happy with four girls. So the four kids and three grandkids.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But the two elder grandkids are in Brisbane.
Oh, wow. And how are they going with all this COVID stuff then?
Well, they're coping okay, but of course we can't see them at the moment. So we haven't seen them since March. So it's been a bit tough.
Yeah, like, you know, my sister hasn't met our little one yet, which is a bit sad. But, you know, FaceTime. There's been a lot of chats, which is great.
Yeah. We are very lucky that we can video conference or call each other.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
You know, yeah, with all the technology, it makes it great.
Yeah.
And I still know how to use it. So
we're very proud.
All right. So can you tell us, both of you can tell us a little bit about your comedy background. So Phil, do you want to start with that? Where did you begin?
Well, maybe Louise should start because Louise started comedy before me.
All right. I mean,
go on then. So I started 6-7 years ago, just on a dare from a friend, and then got hooked. So I did it for 4 years in Perth, and then moved across to the UK. But I haven't done it since I've come back. And so Dad started up just as when I was returning back to Australia. So it's still on the list to get back into, but we've never actually performed comedy at the same time.
Oh, that's one of my questions for you both. So you haven't
not
actually
in public. You know.
Yeah,
lots of family dinners.
Yeah, the rest of family has to put up with us. But but no, so I'm kind of on hiatus at the moment. But
how long has it been for you since
I did
it? Yeah,
got on stage three years probably.
Yeah,
maybe four.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I went from doing it a couple of times a week to, just not yet.
Well, that's pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah. Every time I see Dad, though, like on the way home, you talk to yourself and think of new things to do, but have yet
take
to get
notes.
Back.
I've seen you taking notes.
Yeah. I just need some pointers, you know?
You hate it when someone comes up to you and goes, oh, I've just got this little.
Oh, I know.
It happens to everyone, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about yourself, Phil?
Well, I've always loved comedy, and then I really got into it, if you like, when I used to watch Louise. I used to go and watch Louise nearly every time.
Yeah.
And I used to think, oh, I should get up, but I would never get up when she was doing it because I thought I might embarrass her. I could just imagine other comedians saying, you know, to Louise, oh, I saw your dad the other week. He was dreadful, you know. So I thought, no, I'm not, you know, I just enjoy going to watch Louise and stuff. And then she moved to the UK, and then I thought, well, yeah, you know, give it a go. But I still didn't for a year or so. I was too nervous.
Yeah.
And then just eventually one day I got the courage up and went. But I didn't tell anybody I was going. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell my wife. I actually told her I was going to watch stand-up with some mates from work. But I didn't tell her I was going to get
so
up.
So sneaky.
I know.
Yeah, I remember you sent me the – because at the Brisbane. And the next day, Brisbane, Dad sent me the lineup and said, oh, it was a good show last night.
Oh,
and I was like, does this guy have the same name as Dad, or was it Dad? So I think I got to come to your second show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
So the cat was out of the bag and so –
The cat was out of the bag. Yeah. So yeah. That was just over 2 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because you want to make sure you're not shit the first time before you get other people to come.
I think I was actually though. I think I was shit the first time.
Degrees of shit though, right?
Yeah. It's like. But I was, you know, I got, you know, enough laughs to give me some encouragement, and you get hooked. I mean, the buzz is enormous.
Yeah.
And so that just kept me going. Yeah.
You have a very good delivery. You won the Clean Comedy Competition this year for Bass and Dean's Wonder Realm.
Yeah, that was huge buzz as well. Yeah. I really like that. I mean, everyone likes their ego to be stroked. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are, right?
Yeah.
And that was awesome. That was fantastic.
It was a fun night.
Yeah. It was a great night, yeah.
And you're amazing at clean jokes. I think I was in my 20s until I heard Dad swear.
Oh,
and he's always telling jokes, but I'd never heard a dirty joke from him.
Yeah.
Like, you just didn't
I've got
have
plenty
to.
Of them.
I know. I've started hearing them now and I'm shocked. But you can do the comedy without having to resort to the dirty stuff, which is great.
Well, I think with me as well, I mean, at the age I'm at, I think there's a fine line between being telling a dirty joke and coming across as sleazy or whatever, you know, at my age. So I sort of made a decision just to keep it clean.
Yeah.
Cleanish. I mean, there's the odd swear word every now and then in a set, depending where it is, but. Essentially keep the topics clean, and then that becomes my niche, if you like, you know.
Yeah,
I like that. Yep. Yeah, my rule was always, if I wouldn't say it's a dad, I won't say it on stage, which is, I mean, we're close enough that still gave you leeway, but it did, you was like, okay, if I wouldn't be comfortable saying this to Dad in a conversation, personally it's not my style to then say it on stage.
Yeah.
Which I liked. I think that worked
good.
For us.
That's good, yeah, yeah.
And Louise, you've been a state finalist in Raw 2 times, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, twice. So, the first 2 years that I started comedy. Oh, which is awesome.
Congratulations to that. That's
really
cool.
I've only been once.
Yeah, winning.
Oh, there's your competitive spirit. All right. So how did you both end up in comedy? But what, you said a dare, Louise?
Yeah, I think I was similar to Dad. It was something that I was always interested in, but didn't really have the guts to get up there. And I'd talked about it enough that one of my friends gave me a helpful push and just kept talking me into it. But yeah, I think growing up, like, our house has just always been comedy.
Yeah.
And particularly led by Dad. Like, if there's, you know, he brings out the same jokes to, you know, same sort of events. And then, you know, and all our friends, when they find out Dad's doing comedy, they're not surprised.
Yeah.
Because everyone that's been to a family dinner knows that's the environment at our house. So, I don't know, I think, you know, and a middle child, right? Like, I needed the attention. So it was always going to happen.
I think the second child always has a bit of sass. My middle child does.
Sass, I like that. It's a nice way to say it.
I know, right? What about yourself, Phil?
Well, again, I just always wanted to do it, really. I mean, I've always liked telling jokes, you know, at work or family, you know, particularly with a few drinks, I'd be telling the jokes. And I think also... I sort of felt there was a, you know, a part of me that was quite creative. You know, my job was always very scientific and quite regimented almost.
Yeah.
And so I think there was this, you know, sort of inner part of me that wanted to, you know, do something in the arts.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's partly it as well. But yeah.
That's really cool.
But just love it.
Yeah.
Just love it.
I can tell when you're on stage, you do. You've got this shine about you. So
you can, hey.
Yeah.
But I think it's really nice. Well, I think it's more than just being on stage. I actually love the whole thing. You know, I love going to comedy. I mean, I always stay and watch everyone's sets.
Yeah.
It's expanded my, you know, friendship group.
Yeah.
You know, there's people I've met that I would not normally have met.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a lot of fun. And so I've just enjoyed the whole journey.
Yeah. You got to book in a few weeks in advance to see Dad now. He's busy like every night.
It's not a bad thing. So what I know that you said you haven't actually done anything together. I was going to ask, what is it like for you both to be working in the comedy scene, but you haven't actually experienced that yet.
We haven't experienced it. You know, Dad's always giving a gentle push for me to get back into it. Mm. And I definitely want to. So I think we'll probably have to answer that question in a year and see where we're at. But it's nice knowing that people that I performed with years ago that Dad, you know, got to meet as a spectator, he's now seeing regularly, and, you know, a lot of them still ask after me. Like, it's a nice culture to both be a part of and know the same people. Mm. And sometimes I'll go see Dad, you know, by myself, but you're not alone because you know a lot of people in the industry.
Yeah.
So you can chat and talk. And so it is nice. Really lovely being able to share that.
It is lovely. I know Cameron McLaren holds you both really in such high regard. Yeah, he is. I love him to
pieces.
Just
a gentle giant. Hey?
Yeah.
When I used to go, you know, and watch Louise, that's when I met Cam, and he was very friendly, you know. So, and not everyone is like that. I mean, I think they are after a while when you get to know them, but he was just very engaging and you know, welcoming.
Yeah.
Which is great. Particularly when you're a lot older, right? I mean, I don't fit into the I guess accepted age group generally, and most of the comedians are probably in their 30s or so, or late 20s and whatnot, so.
I've always felt that Cameron's he's just very welcoming. He just treats everyone.
Mm. Absolutely.
Even.
And seems genuine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he makes everyone feel like they belong there.
Yeah.
I think, and that's such a rare skill to be able to have, and so genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've got some more dad and daughter questions for you guys.
Yeah, I know. No, she's not my favourite.
So I'm leaving now. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Phil, the first moment you found out you were going to be a father, how did you feel? It's going back a long time, I assume.
Well, it is, and it's a bit of a family joke almost, because my wife fell pregnant on our honeymoon, on our wedding night, basically, yeah. So there wasn't much, you know, time married before, you know, we learnt that we were going to be parents. I don't know, really. I don't know. I think I can remember clearly when our first was born and just – been totally surreal about it all.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I went back in the lift after being at the birth to go back to the room to wait for Deb, my wife, to come back up. And just like, I think my head was spinning in the elevator.
Yeah.
I just kept saying to myself, I'm a father, I'm a father. Oh, shit.
What now?
Because, you know, we didn't have any friends really with kids. I mean, we had kids quite young.
Yeah.
I was 26. And, you know, so there wasn't that, you know, experience of seeing other friends with kids at barbecues or stuff. And also there wasn't the internet, right? So there wasn't stuff to read. And we had a couple of books and that, but you sort of, but you learn what to do.
You realise very soon that most of those books are, you know, good for the fire.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah,
I've yet to read one.
Absolutely. I know. Absolutely.
I think they stress you out more than anything, you know.
They do, because there's the ideal thing that your kid should be doing and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
And Louise was a classic example, right?
Oh, I knew this was going to come up.
This is not going out to the public, is it? Louise didn't walk till she was 19 months, you know, which is quite late, right?
That is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone's saying to us, oh, she should be, but I mean, they all do things at different times.
Yeah. I never crawled either. It was just a blob.
No, just sort of,
you didn't crawl?
No. I think it was quite bright. I just sat there and people bought me food.
Did you go back to crawling? Well, you wouldn't know, but did she go back to crawling? And
not really. She didn't really. She never crawled conventionally. She did like a bum shuffle. So she sat on her bum and moved her head. Yeah, a form of crawling, but like a weird form.
Yeah, I can crawl now. Just so we're clear.
Yeah, good.
I can
That's good for your crossing midline. So you know.
Yeah, we did think about, you know, sort of going to Hay Street Mall with a hat and asking for a collection for her. But, you know.
All right. So, Phil, from your perspective as a father, what was the most funniest memory you've got of Louise as a child? Of Louise, I should say.
You know, oh, geez. I don't know.
It's going to be a story about Liz, isn't it? Mix them up.
I could. No. I don't know. Can you think of one to give me a nudge?
Maybe at the farm, the slugs?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Louise was very she was very quiet as well. It's hard to believe. Like, she's obviously caught super up a quiet. Lot, you know, going from not hardly talking to being a stand-up comic at one stage. So, but she had a real personality, and we were down my in-laws have a farm down south, and we're down there, and they're down there with their granddad, and he's walking with Louise's elder sister, Liz, who would have been, say, four-ish, and Louise is two, and he's telling Liz to stamp on the snails and the slugs.
Yeah.
And Liz is a bit of a, you know, oh, I don't want to do that, you know. And Louise is kind of hanging around, and Louise used to refer to herself as Wheezy. So if rather than Louise, it was Wheezy. So she kind of pushes me and her grandfather out of the way and said, Wheezy do, Wheezy do, and then proceeded to squash every single snail on the driveway and the slug. And so much to Grandpa's admiration, but I think she's always been a Wheezy do person. You
know. And I do often still refer to myself in third person as Wheezy.
Wheezy.
Stuck now.
And Louise, what about yourself? Have you got a funny memory of your dad growing up?
Oh, geez. Not so much at the time, but Dad used to film a lot of home movies. Yep. So he'd always take videos of us just doing, you know, riding your bikes around, and then we'd insist of watching them immediately after. And watching them as a kid, you know, you just hear admiration in Dad's voice. But when I moved to the UK, I was feeling homesick, and so I'd sit there and just watch home movies.
Oh,
it's quite self-indulgent though, just watching videos of yourself as a kid. And you realise that it wasn't admiration. He was constantly heckling us and being sarcastic. So he'd be like, oh, that's great, kids. Tell you what, if I have to watch this one more time, and then, but we'd think that, you know, as a kid, you just thought he was so ecstatic for us. But like the running commentary on these videos are just hilarious. And I'm like, obviously he was keeping himself entertained from, yeah, you know, hours of filming, but you just don't appreciate it as a child. Yeah, so it's more of a delayed humour for me now.
Yeah. I just love that just went over your child.
Oh, no, yeah, idea.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You just thought,
you're doing so well.
You know, just he's like, oh, you're a genius, you are. Oh, we're going to send you to the Olympics. And as a kid, you're like, yeah, I am. Now I'm like, hey. An inflated sense of self-importance for no reason.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And what was your biggest learning curve as a dad?
That's a good one. I don't know really. You have to develop patience, I think. Mm-hmm. You just got to be patient. I don't know. Luckily I've always been quite patient, but that's probably what are you giggling about? I don't know. I mean, just everything. I mean, really. I mean, just how to raise kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, touch wood, they all turned out okay. And friends who had kids, as I said, we had them early on. Friends who had kids later on would say, you know, what do I do? What do I ask? I don't know. Mm. But whatever we did, it worked.
Yeah.
Patience.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it sounds a bit naff, but they did instill like good values in us. Like, yeah, our family dynamic now is amazing. We have, you know, there's four kids. And then when all six of us and our partners are together, like, you just want to do that. You want to hang out with your family, and everyone's adults and really like each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a credit to mum and dad that, you know, they've created that kind of dynamic.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was, but I mean, I do, well, I say I, you know, myself and my wife, we view that as a real success.
Yeah.
At the fact that we enjoy the kids' company, enjoy their partner's company, enjoy their friends' company. And, you know, I mean, my ideal weekend is spending time with the kids and their families, you know.
Yeah. So. And how long have you been married for?
4 years.
And yourself, Phil?
Coming up to 35.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's no joke.
No, that's really good. And have you ever had to have words to Louise's partner? You know, did that conversation happen, the dad conversation, or?
No.
You liked him, and that's good.
Louise, obviously a sense of humour, but I always viewed with three daughters that any prospective boyfriend shouldn't get an easy run. So, but that was mainly humour or sarcasm.
Yeah.
So,
So
you test them out that way. So.
Yeah. I mean, they got to have a sense of humour to survive in the family.
Death by Monty Python quotes.
Yeah. Well, I do like Monty Python, which is a bit of a cliche, but Nick, Louise's husband, is not a fan at all. So I worked out about a few meetings in that he was rolling his eyes every time I quoted Monty Python.
So I don't think there's been a family dinner yet where it hasn't been referenced.
Louise, what was the biggest lesson or the greatest lesson your dad's taught you?
It was actually something that he originally said to my older sister, and then he repeated it to myself and my younger sister, because he's done 3 Father the Bride speeches.
Oh.
And for my older sister's one, she's stubborn like Dad. And I remember he said to her, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't control it. And he said something similar to me when I was choosing over my graduate job about what I was going to pick. And he said, just make a decision. And if you make the wrong one, make another one. Yeah. And I just love that. And he said similar in my wedding speech about not sweating the small stuff.
Yeah.
And they're all that similar sort of vibe.
Yeah.
It's about like sometimes we get so in our own head and you can't take that step back with logic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really nice knowing that you can mess it up completely. He's like, and it doesn't matter because you can make another decision. You're young enough that you can be wrong so many times and start your life over so many times and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you know that you have that safety net.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Not, you know, financially, but.
I mean financially.
No, not financially.
You're not going to help me out with my mortgage?
No.
Well, this is awkward.
What are you most proud about with each other?
Oh, it's just her. I mean, she's just a great, you know. Gee, I didn't know that I was going to be having to praise her. Jeez.
This is fantastic. I'm so glad I came on.
She's just a lovely person. I mean, just embraced our family values, which, you know, and just become a great mum as well. And, I mean, I think that's lovely at the moment. That's only the last few months, obviously 5 months, but to see her as a mum is awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the you know, gobsmacking love that she has for Grace is just, you know.
So intense. I had no idea.
I know, right?
But, yeah, I couldn't really pinpoint one thing, really.
No,
go on, you say nice things about me now.
Gosh. I always say nice things about you. It's really hard, actually. Like, since having Grace, and I was saying to Dad, like, how did you get over us going out? Like, you know, when you're little, riding your bike, and then, you know, I moved to the Gold Coast with a friend when I was 17. I'm like, how did you let me do that? Like, Dad came with us and signed the lease and supported me on it. And, you know, and I just think,
you know, stay the whole time though.
No, that would have been weird. But I think like, just that, like I've been trying to understand and learn from Dad on, how you learn to look after your kids, but not helicopter.
Yeah.
And I'm just really appreciative now of the sort of what they did for us.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's such a skill.
You have to trust them, don't you? I mean, you have to have that. You hope you raise them properly that then you can then trust them.
Yeah. It's a really good point, actually, because I think things are so different now. I think we do helicopter a lot more.
Yeah.
So how did you allow that? Because 17 is very young and it's a different state. And I think we did have mobile phones because you're a bit younger than me.
Yeah.
But
I had Snake on it though, so. Didn't have the internet.
I'm like 43. My dad still wanted to put, a tracing thing on me at this age. So I'm assuming you didn't do that. But
no, we didn't do anything like that. I mean, we obviously kept in touch with her. But again, I mean, that's what she wanted to do. It was her, you know, gap year after high school, and she wanted to go over there. And she went with the best friend she had at the time, who's still one of her best friends. And we knew her, and we trusted her. She actually recently got married, and I was the MC at their wedding for, you know. Aww. So that, you know,
she calls him Uncle Phil.
You know, so they've stayed a family friend, you know what I mean? So you kind of trusted her and who she was going with, and, you know, what do you do really? I mean, you put your foot down and say no, where's that going to go?
Yeah.
You know, so.
I love that you've supported Louise in that, and then it would have helped you to grow to the person
definitely.
That you are now.
Because I finished high school and I just turned 17 because I have a late birthday and I wasn't ready for uni.
Yeah.
And, it just worked really well. I enjoyed the gap year, and then I was really ready for university.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's knowing your kid as well. Like, I was in the Gold Coast for a week and I joined the library. So, do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't a kid that they had to really, really worry about.
You did have some false ID I subsequently learned as well.
Yeah, which I forgot they didn't know and came out in conversation in my 20s.
It wasn't all the time in the library.
No, there is a pub there called the library.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's great. So if for other parents, Phil, what would you impart? And for parents now, especially, like, I've got a 14-year-old. 14's hard. Was it hard for you, like, with the girls, and you've got one boy?
Yeah. I'm not sure what we did. But in all seriousness, I mean, I I, you know, do get asked that. Not so much now, of course, the kids are grown up, but when the kids are in their late teens, and I had friends with kids in their low teens coming up to that.
Mm.
I think the main thing, I'm not sure how you do it, is to keep the communication.
Yeah.
You got to keep communicating. Once you stop talking or being able to talk, then I think it's almost gone then. It's hard to get back.
Yeah.
And luckily we were always able to communicate. And a lot of the time that was just through humour.
Yeah.
You know, just having a bit of fun. And that sort of opens up the door then to more serious communication. But I think that was it, just being able to talk. We've always, both myself and my wife, talked to the kids. And not a serious, like, you know, here's what you do type talk. Just general conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're having that, then you can talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're not talking to them and you're trying to open up with a serious, you know, you will do this, you will do that, well, it's not going to work, is it?
No, that's
so. Yeah, just keep them involved, and you know, try and be involved in everything they do, if they want you to, of course.
Yeah. But
go and watch all their sport. Go and watch all their interests. Go and, you know.
That's what I was going to say. I think it was a big one. Was you know, I think for so much of your life with four kids, you're a taxi driver, right?
Oh, but yeah.
We, you know, all of us did so many different sports, and you know, I used to do surf club and board training a few times a week. And Dad would take me there at 5 a.m. and walk along the beach with a coffee, and you know, you'd have. That's when you'd talk a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you knew they were there to support. I mean, Grace in no way is doing swimming or board training. Anything at 5 a.m. is not happening. But Dad did it.
Like, yeah.
We were both working, my wife and I, and four kids with all their sport and music interests and other things, right? And every night after work, without fail, I had to go somewhere after work to, you know, pick up one of the kids from something.
Yeah.
And only once, but she's never let me forget it, only once did I forget to pick up Louise. And I, you know, I got
she's
into work.
Still like shaking.
She's still, yeah.
Scarred.
You know, I got in from work, and you know, my wife was at home before me, and she's got the dinner going, and I drop the briefcase, get a glass of wine, and start chatting about the day. And my wife turns to me and she goes, "Where's Louise?" Oh shit! Get back in the car, and she was after swimming training, and everybody else had gone home, and she's sitting there on the curb in a wet bathers.
Oh,
which is worrying in itself because the pool was still open. I could have gone back inside and dried off, but I just sat there miserable on the side of the road.
So I pulled up, opened the door, and she stormed out. And before I could say anything, she just looked at me and said, "You forgot me, didn't you?" I went, "Yep, get him."
Pretty good if it's happened once. But I think you're allowed once. You just pay for my therapy and we'll be fine.
Yeah, the one thing I've learned as a parent is our parents did the best they could do, and we'll do the best we can.
Of course.
But even do. Grace is going to be scarred, hon.
I know.
You could be the best ever, but...
Sorry, Poppet.
That's it. Yeah.
We're all going to come out with some form of issue.
But, you know, hey.
It's not all bad, but
no,
it
right, no.
Keeps
right.
It interesting.
Yeah, you know. And yeah. Okay, so comedy wise, what was the biggest learning curve or bomb that you've ever had?
Oh, yeah, okay. My biggest bomb was at Scarborough. So, you know, Daniel Delby used to do a room up there.
I've heard that's a hard room.
People had warned me that it was a hard room.
Yeah.
And I did it over a year ago when I was, you know, not that I'm huge experience now, but I'm at least 2 years in.
Yeah.
And I was actually at a stage, I think, where I was getting a little bit, not cocky, but things were going really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was getting a lot of laughs, and I had some new stuff, and I tried some new stuff at the Scarborough room without really putting enough time into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go well at all. And I thought afterwards, I thought, oh, well, that's a real learning curve.
Yeah.
You can't just, well, if you're really good, you can wing it. But still learning, you got to put the preparation in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a big learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that then?
Make sure you prepare.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lot of, you know, premises that I was trying, but I hadn't really worked out the punchlines.
Okay.
It was kind of like, you know, I sort of tried to laugh my way through it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't tied together with proper jokes, and it didn't go well.
Yeah.
So I've still hidden those premises away. I'm too nervous to get them out again.
Oh, there's baby Grace. So hello, Grace.
Yeah. But that was a big learner. I mean, touch wood, I haven't had that many real bombs. You know, you have individual jokes that don't work.
Yeah.
But you know, you sort of learn with experience that you can actually work. You can work off those.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a joke about that joke bombing. You know,
yeah.
you can go through that sort of thing. So.
Aww.
You just can't beat experience. That's the other thing. I mean, I just get up every time. Whenever anybody asks me, I won't go, "Oh, that's too far away," or "I'm not getting paid for that," or I just anything, I'm in it.
Yeah.
And just to try and get as much stage time as possible, because then you just get better and better.
Mm. And I guess different audiences as well.
Absolutely, as well. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, yeah. So, you know, you'll go to a place which might have a really, well, without, you know, stereotyping, a really bogan type audience.
Yeah.
Then it might be like a young university type audience, or it might be an older audience. And, you know, try and make the same joke work with all those different audiences. And it can.
Yeah.
You know, and but that's very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we will ask you the same thing, Louise, but we'll just acknowledge Grace is here. And how old is Grace?
Grace is just over 5 months.
Yeah, she's a little puppy, everyone. Yeah. So, and she's tiny little one that's
just woken up.
Hello, Grace.
You're going to be on the show, Puppet.
She's absolutely divine. So, just so I know that our listeners can hear a baby and not sure how old she is.
But if there's noises like, you know, crying and, you know, maybe noises from the bowels, it's not me. It's Grace, okay.
Yeah, sure. Blame the baby, Dad. learning curve for me, mine was almost the opposite to Dad. I got too scripted. Like I'd prepare.
Yeah.
And then get a bit sing-songy.
Oh, okay.
And I remember Sean Conway had a chat to me about it.
Yeah.
He's like, just try and do a little bit more from the hip, or at least practice enough to the point that you're back sounding natural.
Yeah.
Because and at the beginning I didn't have that problem. It was, you know, a couple of months in that I started, I was doing material that I was really familiar with and wasn't giving my all on stage. So it was a really good reminder to just kind of, you want to prepare, but you want to still, you know, be present.
But I think if you really prepare, though, you then can be natural because
exactly.
You've got the prep, you know the jokes backwards, and then you can actually interact with the crowd and you can respond to the audience because you know your base is really solid.
Yeah.
I think that's – so it's almost the same thing, really.
Exactly. I was kind of in that limbo of like prepared but not to that point.
Yeah.
You're giving your pop smiles.
I think that's when you have really become very grounded and present but on stage, isn't it? So you've got it rehearsed, and we often say to people, don't heckle. This is a rehearsed performance, but then people want it delivered naturally because otherwise it, you know, looks scripted. It is scripted, but but it's better when it does come from being present, being in the moment, and then if something happens, just running with it, like then you trip on stage, you get up and make fun of it.
Yeah,
and in terms of bombing, I think similar to Dad, I don't think I had a real terrible one, but there's always been a few that don't land. But I think one that sticks in my head of the one that I didn't enjoy was one time at the Charles. Yep. I think his dad was saying it was quite a rough audience night, and I was trying really new, clean things.
Yeah.
I remember Johnny saying to me afterwards, he said, just throw in a few swear words. He's like, just use swear words occasionally as an adjective.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, right, cool, good to know. Like it was just – you know, I had done the same set at Little Creatures the week before and it went really well. So it was me not really recognising the change in my audience and adapting.
Yeah.
You know, you can do the same material but deliver it differently.
Yeah. So, yeah, true.
And yeah, it was just a bit of a learning curve for me.
Yeah.
But as Dad said, it's all experience, right?
It is all experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you can't really fast track it, I don't think, unless you're a real talent. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of people that can fast track it in a way. They just are real natural and get better at it. But it's a skill like any other, really.
It is, so, definitely. Mm. What was the best moment as a performer or artist?
Well, look, you mentioned the clean comedy. I mean, you know, actually to, you know, win that was a real buzz. And that had come a couple of weeks after I'd got to the Raw State Final.
Yeah,
and I'd had like a real buzz there as well. You know, 100-odd people in the comedy lounge. That was great.
Yeah.
And the set went really well.
Mm.
I had no expectations of actually winning it. But it was just such a great buzz. So I had a really great couple of weeks there, or a few weeks there.
Yep.
But it doesn't have to be 100 people in a room. You can have a great night with 10.
Yeah.
You know, if you get the right 10 and the vibes there, that can work really well too.
Mm. That's so true.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Louise?
Probably either Roto Fest. That was really, really fun. I just remember the vibe was just really cool. Like, it was more like the cabaret kind of style. I had a bunch of family there and it was just really – and I was really relaxed. I think because I'd been at the beach all day and it was just incredible vibe.
Yeah.
And then also I used to love Little Creatures.
Yeah.
I just loved the vibe there as well. The setup was great and, yeah, so I think that one really sticks to my mind. I think when I did Roar, it gave you a false sense of – because there used to be the final was at His Majesty's.
Yeah, okay.
And you're awesome. This huge theatre and it's packed out. And you're like, oh, I'm fabulous. You know, and the next week you're performing to six people. And you go, this is reality. I don't actually pack out theatres. So you went from a real high to go, okay, I'm not actually there yet. That's a one-off.
And at Roto Fest, you said you opened for Claire Hooper.
Yeah. So it was awesome. So that was like the prize for winning Next Gen.
Oh, wow.
And that was surreal. Yeah. That was really fun.
She's awesome. We've done some shows. One show with her so far.
She's so great. Lovely and really like took the time to chat to you afterwards and give you feedback and it was just really nice that she did that.
Yeah.
So
she's a lovely person.
Yeah, it's definite buzz.
What is a common myth about being a comedian?
Jeez. Don't know. that everyone's funny. Maybe. I mean, like, they're funny on stage, but some of the most serious people you talk to are the comedians off stage.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe is that a myth? I don't know.
Or the like I find at work when people find like you're in a meeting, someone hears that you did comedy, like tell us a joke.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like in, you know, 9 a.m. on a Tuesday in a meeting about finance, then I'm bust out a joke. So I think that's always a bit of a myth for those not in the industry.
Yeah. I get asked that. I always say you have to pay.
I think they do think that you're always on. Nicole and I are actually speaking about it on the weekend. Because we have to be always on. I'm always networking, although on Friday night I'd had way too many drinks. I was at the karaoke bar in the city, and I ended up meeting two different performers. They walked in, they just owned this room, and I was like, "Oh, you guys are performing artists." Well, they were, and they were amazing. But then, you know, I go into work mode and network mode, and here's my card, and let's link up on Facebook, and I will employ, you know. And it was, I guess that's the thing. And I said to her, it's so different because comedians have said to us, you know, we're not always on, but we have to be always on, even if I'm drinking.
I think I was on a lot of the time when I was working, though. I think I was always a bit of a smart ass at work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so I just couldn't help it. I'd always, not intentionally, but my mind would see something funny.
Mm.
In a meeting or something, and sometimes I'd say it when I shouldn't have. Whatever.
Enjoying retirement, though?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Now the postman gets it right.
That's right.
Or the cats.
Come back.
What do you mean you've got a timeline?
Yeah. A street on a hill so I can catch up to him on his bike.
Oh, you know? Great. Yeah. You're like that dog that chases us.
Yeah, beware of comedian. It's a little goat. That's right.
Who are your biggest influencers?
Well, me, I guess. I mean, I used to watch everything, you know, and listen to everything. I mean, we mentioned Monty Python earlier. I mean, so I think a lot of people my age influenced a little bit by that. But I think a lot of the English or the, you know, British comedians, even Benny Hill, who is, of course, a very, you know, persona non grata these days due to sexism in his humour. But he was a very clever wordsmith.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very – I used to like listening to his poems and stuff because I like writing some, you know, funny poems. And so, you know, Morecambe and Wise, all that old stuff.
Yeah.
More recently, my favourite overseas comedian would be Bill Bailey.
Oh, wow.
I love Bill Bailey. Yeah. He's so talented as a musician as well as a comic. I think to tie in comedy and music in the one show is you know, brilliant.
Mm.
I love watching him.
Yeah.
But everybody, really. I mean, I just like my comedy tastes. People go, oh, I don't like American comics or I don't like, you know. I just watch everything and listen to so many different things. And
yeah.
I think, you know, you pick up bits and pieces. And
yeah. And it is so subjective.
Of course it is. Yeah. That's right.
Depends on my mood as well.
That's right. It's like, what music do you like? Well,
yeah.
Everything, really, you know. So
yeah.
But, yeah, I think the wordsmiths, because I try and – my stuff's mostly, as you know, like play on words and stuff like that, so.
Yeah.
The type of thing.
Yeah, because you do some writing for the 99 word.
Oh, yeah, I love doing that.
I know, you're good at it.
I just love it.
I love his stories on there. It's so good.
But, I actually hassled Sean yesterday. I said, when's the new topic coming out?
Oh, I love that you're so enthusiastic as well. It's good. All right. So I've got some random questions for you guys as well.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah, and your biggest influence. Who was that, Louise? Sorry.
Do you know what? Like, to be honest, you can tell that Dad influenced me a lot because I think we have very similar tastes, minus Benny Hill. But, you know, like a lot of my early comedy stuff was Dad taking me along. Like the amount of times I've been to see Bill Bailey with Dad, It's a fair bit. You know, we saw Tim Minchin early on.
Tim Minchin, yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
I love anything like the observational stuff. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and go, yeah, I've done that. Yeah. So, like, kind of like Carl Barron's style, but I still wouldn't put him in that list though. Okay. I think it tends to be the English guys we watch a lot of, but yeah, I'm like Dad, I'll really watch anything. And then on any given day, it depends what you like.
Yeah. Someone actually, speaking of English comedy, someone actually reminded me the other day of The Goodies. Did you guys
I used to watch The Goodies.
That was so good, weren't they? Yeah. I don't know why I'd just forgotten about them, but I thought, gosh, they were so fun, weren't they?
They were a bit ahead of their time.
Yeah.
I mean, the humour was very hit and miss as well.
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Some of it just flopped, but they just carried on.
Yeah.
Oh, they were very,
I'm thinking
of
introducing it to my kids. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Okay. If you guys could be a character in a book or a TV show, who would it be and why?
I really want to be really intellectual and say like some kind of, you know, great novel. But do you know what? I want to be Donna from Suits.
Okay. Mm,
just because she just seems like she knows everything.
I don't know. I love spy and spy movies and spy TV shows and, you know, and stuff like that. So probably, you know, you said TV or book, I guess, you know, James Bond.
Mm. James Bond's cool.
I think every guy wants to be James Bond, really.
Well, there's a resemblance to like Connery now.
What, to 90-year-old Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That wasn't very intellectual either, was it though?
It doesn't have to be. What's the dumbest way you've ever been injured?
Dumbest way I've ever been injured.
You might not have been.
I have been. Like I was a cautious child and I'm a risk averse person now. So I think you know, like you said, I didn't walk till I was 19 months and I don't think I've really progressed in my daredevil sort of ways. Just can't think of any. I've never broken a bone. Like,
wow. Maybe as a really small child, you were watching your sibling do all the stacks and that's what prevented you from walking.
I don't think like any of us are that great at sport. So
yeah, it's been a great disappointment.
Yeah, too. Dad was a great runner, whereas the rest of us, not so much.
I couldn't run out of sight on a dark night, maybe. When I was about six in the UK, because we lived in the UK till I was eight, I was on my bike and I fell off and they had a little flag mount on the front, you know, a wire sticking up with a flag on it. And the wire went through my neck, but it just like the fleshy side on the corner, but basically went in part of the neck and out the other.
Oh.
And my dad was like in a state of shock watching this, you know, is he dead? And he just basically got up and I was fine. It didn't even, you know, didn't even need a stitch.
Wow.
It just like, it was so thin. It was like a needle almost going in. But, but of course, if I'd landed slightly different, it could have gone right through the, you know, and through the whatever the big artery is.
I haven't heard that story.
Haven't you?
No. Oh,
well, who pulled that out for you? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Who pulled that out?
My dad did, yeah.
Yeah, that's my dad, yeah. I'm not good with that stuff as a parent. No.
What do you do though? You just have to react, right? So
help.
No, I'm too squeamish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm really lucky. My older son, even with, say there'd be a dead animal that someone on the roads hit, I cannot deal with that sort of stuff. And I'm like, my son will come up and go, it's okay, Mum, I'll sort it out for you. And blood.
I'm generally not good, but yeah.
The good thing is Dad's two other daughters, one's a nurse and one's a vet. So we've got them.
They're both,
they can take care of that. We'll sit on the sidelines.
I've got my first aid. Just don't. Yeah, blood.
You're just okay with it in theory, not practice.
No, I can do it. Switch into this mode, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine your poor dad in that moment.
Right. I think it was just instinctive. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Fuck.
Okay. What's the worst thing you've ever eaten?
Oh.
Vegemite.
That's
disgusting.
It's an interesting.
I don't know where did we go wrong?
I know. Terrible Australian, but I just think I can eat pretty much anything and I just can't.
It doesn't even smell nice, but.
Yeah, it's just like, who came up with it?
Yeah,
it's
gross.
See, I love Vegemite.
Yeah.
Vegemite and honey.
And honey.
On the toast, lovely.
Together.
Together, and absolutely. And here's another, try it before you diss it.
Right? I know, I'm dissing it.
I know. And the other combo, and you can actually do, the other is Vegemite and banana, okay? And then you can go the whole,
I'm screwing my face up.
I know you are. You can go Vegemite, honey and banana on toast.
Ah.
That's pretty good.
I think your taste buds are all mixed up.
This is why
up.
Dad didn't make our lunches.
That's like a salty sweet. I guess everything. It's chocolate caramel. Yeah,
it's the whole, that's right, like salty caramel.
I'm trying
caramel.
To rationalise
yeah.
this.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Ooh. Sometimes I treat myself and do that for breakfast.
I have no egg and veggie, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that works. Yeah.
But do this is like a really honey and veggie.
Look, you go home and try it, honey and veggie.
I'm not, but anyone out there that wants to and wants to put
I can,
in a
you know,
yes
send you the
or
recipe.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe give a complaint line when people try it.
Ew, yeah.
But the worst thing I've eaten, I don't know, I eat everything really. Although we just got into Louise because she doesn't like Vegemite. I don't like avocados.
Or cucumber.
Mm. Yeah. But it's not a bad thing really. It's not like, you know,
so you wouldn't
like
do
a
avocado
monkey's eyeball
and,
or something.
You know, I don't know. That's pretty gross.
No, I don't like avocado.
Avocado and Vegemite?
No.
No.
I take mine out of my roll and, you know, give it to my wife. And, yeah, okay. We're sort of Jack Spratt and his wife, you know.
So. What about yourself, Louise?
Oh, the Vegemite.
Oh, Vegemite, that's right. Yeah. Sorry.
Although I'll say it again because it's gross.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. Sorry. Have you either of you ever sent an SMS to the wrong person and it's gone really wrong?
I have sent an SMS to the wrong person all the time. I don't think I've had any, you know, dilemmas.
Yeah. I think you're too polite. I don't think you
Yeah, would. I am, because I wouldn't ever say anything anyway, right? So, I have received an SMS from a mate which says, "Hey, babe, be home soon." And clearly that wasn't meant for me. So I quickly replied before it got any worse, but yeah.
I think that's definitely where mine is. It's always awkward stuff with my younger brother. So yeah. I've definitely called him babe in a message. Yeah. And on the phone, just because you chat to him all the time, and I'm sitting next to my husband, and I'll chat to him. And I think I did it at family lunch on Sunday.
Just on the weekend, you called him babe.
He rang me, and I was like, "All right, all good, babe. See you soon." And the whole family started laughing. And
did you just call him babe?
Oh yeah, he needs therapy now too. But at least, you know, nothing terrible. No, like big bitch messages to the wrong person or anything.
Yep. No, I had my I often call my oldest son my brother and vice versa. And I don't know if it's because, you know, characteristically they're very similar but I get in trouble a lot from my kids for doing that sort of stuff. So, yeah. What's one of your pet peeves?
Loud chewers.
Loud chewers.
Makes me – I just get so annoyed. Like, and particularly if it's food that you shouldn't be able to hear. You know, like noodles or like porridge or –
Yeah.
Until I work in open plan in an office, but it just does my head in. That and hiccups.
Hiccups.
I don't mind if I have them, but if someone else has them and isn't trying to get rid of them, it just
did you
my
ever
level
get,
of anger.
Did Grace ever get hiccups in utero?
Lots. Hers
so
I don't mind.
Bad,
she's
right?
cute. Like,
yeah,
I can
but
handle
getting
hers.
Hiccups inside you is a weird
it's
sensation.
It's so weird, hey?
Yeah.
You guys have seen the movie Alien, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I avoided that while I was pregnant.
Pet peeves. Look, I mean, I don't know. I hate extremism. You know, I don't like extremism when people are, you know, can't reason with them.
Yeah.
You know, be it left, right, religious, whatever. You know, if it's extremist view, I just think, well, no.
Yeah.
You know, so, nothing much else. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Really. So.
No, fair enough.
That was a serious comment there. Sorry.
What's the best advice you've ever been given?
I don't know. Relax. Yeah, that's probably what I tell people as well.
Yeah.
My wife tends to be a worrier, so she, you know, thinks of all the scenarios that can go wrong.
Yeah.
As I just say, relax. You know, if something happens, we'll deal with it when it happens, you know. Yeah. Doesn't help by worrying.
Yeah.
So I think that's great advice generally.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to say that's the best advice I've got is from Dad. And Yeah, the whole about don't stress about making decisions and relax when you're caught up. Like even since having her, the amount of times where mum and dad have come over because I'm tired and, you know, I'll be like, she needs me. Dad will be like, relax, and just takes her for a walk. And, you know, in 2 minutes she's happy playing with his beard. So makes you realise, I'm like, right, okay, doesn't need me. I don't have a beard. Dad's got this. Like, so I think sometimes you just need someone to pull you back from yourself a bit.
Yeah.
Dad's good at that.
Yeah. And it's hard when you're a first time parent, I think.
You don't know.
No.
Am I doing it right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really good. You've got a very good mentor, obviously.
Yeah. Dad's great with babies. He always has been. Like, I don't know what kids love dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always just, you know, you take a crying baby, give it to dad and calm pretty quickly.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I won't ask you that yet.
Oh,
hello, Grace. Hi. Hello. Hello. Oh, she's okay. What is one of the craziest things you guys have ever done? And that could go back right back to childhood for you as well, Phil.
Geez, I don't know. Craziest things. I'm going to say something, otherwise you come across as boring, right? Oh, I've never done anything crazy.
I joined a library.
I forgot my library card once. I have to think about that one.
Okay.
Crazy Luke, things you've done? Crazy?
Well, I'm trying to think of all PG crazy things because I'm on here with you.
You can leave the room for a minute. Huh?
I think the for me it was the moving to the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Just because, like, particularly since having her, there was no way in hell I would ever let her do that. Not a chance. It was crazy, but I think good, like, gave you a sense of, like, hello, Grace.
That was Grace.
It was Dad. Just, like, being an adult.
Yeah.
I think. But, yeah, I've never really done anything too crazy. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, went to uni, did the standard degree, started work straight away. When lived in London for a few years.
Boring.
I know. When you look at that, I'm like, oh, Jesus. I have to start doing some crazy things.
It's not that crazy. What made you move to the Gold Coast?
Do you know, again, Dad, I said I was going to take a gap year and I might go work in Coral Bay.
Yeah.
And Dad was joking. He said, well, Coral Bay, why don't you just go to the Gold Coast? He still reckons that he didn't, but he put the idea in my head.
I remember
that. So I just couldn't stand the thought of being the youngest at uni.
Yeah.
Didn't want to do that again. So, and it was great. By the time I went to uni, I was 18. So I could actually go to the pubs and it was a nice change.
No, it is great. It's,
you know, maybe even for me, I mean, it's, you know, doing stand up at 59. That's when I first got up on stage, right? I mean, that's
true.
Pretty crazy, really.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, a lot of my peers and mates would, what the hell are you doing?
Mm.
Why would you want to do that? You know, the fear of public speaking. It sort of doesn't get any less as you get older.
Yeah.
But so maybe that's pretty crazy really in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy, but also like I was saying, any of my friends that hear that he does it and they're like, oh, of course. That makes so much sense. Like, why didn't he do it earlier?
Oh, that's great. And Phil, what would be the greatest thing that you'd want for your kids?
Look, I think almost any parent would answer the same thing. I mean, it sounds simplistic and dumb, but you just want them to be happy, really.
Yeah.
I mean, achieve what they want to achieve, which then just comes back to them being happy as well, I think.
Yeah.
So it's really just you want them to be happy. I mean, it's simplistic, but you get older as well and you realise that's, you know, if you've got your health and your happiness, you know, that's it really.
Yeah.
Someone said to me the other day, a mate, that they actually meant it as a compliment, that I seem content.
Yeah.
And I think I am. I mean, you get to a stage where you're content. That's a real nice place to be.
Mm.
So, you know, I'd hope the kids can achieve that.
Got your caravan, your ginger nuts.
I haven't got ginger nuts. Oh, you mean the biscuits, right? Yeah.
Take back that dirty joke comment.
And Louise, what about yourself? You're a mum now.
I think I'm so in the trenches at the moment. Yeah. I'm just like, I hope she doesn't choke when I try solids next week. But I think, you know, other than that, big picture is exactly like Dad. Like, I wouldn't want her to have unnecessary adversity.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want to smooth the path for her as much as I possibly can and then be there for support when it's not.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Grace?
Yeah.
So, which I think is similar, right? You just don't want hardship for your kids. And, I'm lucky that she's at the age where everything is better with a mum cuddle.
Yeah. Right?
And I know it's only going to get more and more complicated.
Yeah.
So I'm just enjoying the time where, you know, you can solve it with some breast milk and a cuddle and it's complicated as it gets.
Yeah. I always say to my kids, if you could be anything, choose to be happy, and, you know, don't take from other people because, you know, but yeah, be happy because it's, life's too short, isn't it?
And well, it is. And again, as I said, when I, you know, sort of started the comment, it sounds simplistic and like, well, duh, how do I be happy? You know, well, you work that out, you know, whatever makes you happy, that's what you should do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we never said to the kids, you have to go to university or you should be a doctor or you should be this.
Yeah.
You know, you do what you think, you know, will give you pleasure in your working life.
Definitely.
But you don't really know anyway.
No.
So they all went different paths and we're all very proud of them and the people they've become, really.
Yeah, you know, definitely. So. How is it different being a grandfather to a father?
Oh, it's a lot different. Again, it's a cliche, but it's like, she's crying, give her back, you know. we'd like to change her nappy. No, of course I don't. Be stupid.
<It's> been there, done that.
You haven't done a nappy yet.
No, I haven't. I don't intend to either. I had those horrors, you know, personally. So, it's just joyous. I mean, it really is. It's just because Louise made the comment about being in the trenches.
Yeah.
You know, when you're stuck in there and you're so busy. I made a comment to my wife. Well, we were having four kids and they were like, I don't know, 10, 8, 6 and 4 and it's just chaos.
Yeah.
Fun. And I said to her, you realise these are the best years of our life. And you just got to stop and, you know, smell the roses, right?
Yeah.
Because you get caught up in all the tiny bits that you have to do and the tasks and the jobs and then suddenly they're leaving home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think as a grandparent you can really, you know, fling yourself fully into having fun.
Yeah. And be there. Do you guys have a joke that you can share with us?
Go on, then.
Oh, come on. You're the current comedian.
Well, I used to tell jokes like people tell jokes, you know, like at dinner. But then, of course, when you do stand-up, and a lot of my mates, we mentioned earlier about people saying, here's a joke for you.
Yeah.
They don't realise it has to be original.
Yeah.
So I guess one joke that I'm telling at the moment, which goes down well, is about, you know, the younger people with, you know, the millennials. And I say, I was playing cards with a millennial. We were playing poker. And I had three tens, which is a good hand. And he turns his cards over and says, three jacks. And I went, no, hang on. I said, you got two jacks and a queen. He goes, yeah, but the queen identifies as a jack. So I lost. And that actually came from playing cards with some mates one night and we were pretty drunk and one of the guys thought he had three jacks, seriously. They go, no, you idiot, you get a queen. And I went, oh, maybe it identifies. I went, oh, quick, I've got to write that down. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's clever. So,
yeah, thanks.
It's funny, I was actually looking at some of my older stuff earlier and realize if when I get back on stage, I'm going to have to rework a lot because a lot of it is about how I'm not ready for kids.
Oh,
so that's changed. But no, on the millennial thing, like at my old job, I used to get involved a lot in recruiting of university students.
Yeah.
Here, you got to pop.
We're just passing a baby here.
Pass the baby across. So I used to do a lot of the recruiting of uni students and we used to have to ask them this stupid question of if you were a brand, what brand would you be? Which is just stupid. Like you've got these millennials trying to guess, you know, what we value in a brand. You know, they'd say, oh, McDonald's because I'm cheap and you can underpay your staff. But I kind of found the uni students really, they're more like Passion Pop because they are cheap and they're bubbly, but they give you a headache. And it's hard to answer if you try and think of a brand for yourself.
Yeah.
Like I keep trying to do it and all I can think of is negative things. You know, I'm like IKEA. You know, the finished product looks okay, but it's subpar quality and I'm shit with instructions. Yeah. I think as long as a female, you don't describe yourself as Bunnings, you know, because if you can't find your husband, he's probably with me.
That's clever.
She needs to get back on stage.
I know.
Yeah. We're working on it.
Oh, let me know when you're ready.
See, look, Grace is happy now because she's touching Pop's beard. It's very such a charm.
Cute. Social media wise, how can people find you guys?
So my main social media account now is my celebrant account. So I'm actually a marriage celebrant on the side. So I started doing that last year. So guess that's Louise Ward Celebrant on Instagram is the best way.
Yep. Okay.
Phil, and I'm Phil Cook Comedian. rather pretentiously, yeah.
You were very simple, us too. Like.
Yeah. Simple's good. People can find you that way. So we've got a lot of shows coming up actually. So if you check out nyevents.com.au/comedy, we've actually got shows coming up at the Charles Hotel, Guildford Stirling Arms, the Kalamunda Hotel, and we've got two new rooms starting. So they will be announced shortly. Check us out. I just want to say thank you guys. You are a beautiful family and it's just a pleasure to meet you today, Louise and Grace.
Thanks very much for having us.
It's awesome to see you again, Phil, as well. So you're listening in on Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher and I look forward to seeing you guys, you guys tuning in next week when we have some very deadly comedians joining me. All right, take care.